There have been a lot of questions in our labs community lately about licensing art. If you're not familiar, licensing art is where you take any artwork or creative work that you have and you give someone else permission to use it on products that they will then resell. So a lot of questions are popping up, particularly about how it works and, more importantly, how to seek out these types of opportunities and partnerships, how they come about. Well, on today's episode, Betsy Garcia of Bloom Wolf Studio is back on the show, and she's going to share how her partnership with Recycled Paper Greetings came together. You may remember Betsy from episode 173 of Proof to Product, where we talked about how she was creating social change through her product line and intentional business practices. Definitely go back and check that out if you have not listened to it yet. Bloom Wolf Studio is a Latina-owned and operated illustration and design studio based in Orlando, Florida. Launched by a husband and wife team, Betsy Garcia and Luis Sosa, Bloom Wolf Studio was started in November of 2015 after Betsy reconsidered her plans of applying to medical school. Bloom Wolf Studio has evolved into a thriving creative business that has exhibited at national trade shows, participated in hundreds of pop-up markets, and their products are now carried in over 1,100 small shops and boutiques nationwide. Today's episode is brought to you by our email marketing for product makers guide. 49% of your customers want to hear from you on a consistent basis. And yet, only a small percentage of product-based business owners are actively sending monthly emails to their customers. If you have struggled with what to say in these emails or when to send them or how to plan out your email marketing strategies, we have a tool for you. Head to prooftoproduct.com/email marketing and grab our free guide. This tool has helped hundreds of product makers plan out an entire year's worth of nurture emails. There's no more sitting in front of your computer wondering what to say. And the best part, you can create templates from these that you can rinse and repeat year after year. So grab your copy at prooftoproduct.com/email marketing. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Betsy, welcome back to Proof to Product. I'm so happy to have you here.
Hi, Katie. I'm so happy to be here with you.
It's been a while since you and I have spent time like talking shop together. And the last time you were here on the podcast, I think it was back in 2020, maybe even the fall of 2020. So lots has changed in your business and I'm excited to dive into it. I mean, we're going to talk about licensing. We're going to talk about your physical space, your team, all of the things. So let's kick this off. Just give us a brief update since 3 years ago when you were last on. What's going on with the business and you?
Sure. Like you said, lots has changed. When we last spoke, I was working out of our downstairs bedroom in our house. Then in January of 2021, we actually converted our garage into like a studio space and I moved into there. And then in February of this year, we actually moved into a small warehouse space. So we've been doing a lot of moving. And then also my sister, who I was so sad, she left us. She had been working with us since we started Bloom Wolf Studio pretty much. She left us in October for her full-time big girl accounting job, which happy for her, but we were sad to see her go. So it was just Luis and I working on everything until May of this year. And then in May, we actually hired our first full-time team member. So that, awesome. That was a huge change for us. And then also in the last 3 years, we've been working on continuing to grow our business. So we started wholesaling our cards to big box stores like Paper Source and Home Goods. We attended New York Now. We started working with some sales reps, started licensing with American Greetings and a few other companies. And then another thing that has changed, I know last time I was on the podcast, we spoke about TikTok. So since then, I really fell off with our social media presence. So I pretty much stopped posting for the most part, but it's something that's on my to-do list to get back to and all that stuff. But other than that, things have been going well business-wise, pretty much.
I'm so excited to hear. That was a really concise package of a update for us. And I loved hearing about it. And I know we're going to dive into each one a little bit separately, but I do want to say to you, you taking a break from social, it's okay. It's okay to do that. You were saying kind of like, we'll get back to it when we can. And even if you don't, it's okay. I just had another interview with Brigida from Yardia, and she took a 6-month break from social media and her revenue increased by 31%.
That's awesome.
So it's possible to grow these businesses without social, but I also know that we feel a ton of pressure to show up and be visible too. So anyhow, permission to you to like not feel guilt about that.
And the break has been amazing. Like it's one less thing to stress about and it's just been awesome. I mean, our business has continued to grow. So like you said, it's definitely possible to continue growing even without the social media presence.
For sure. Okay, let's talk about your licensing projects with Recycled Paper Greetings. I know that this was percolating when you and I were working together in the mastermind and you were negotiating. And I know licensing too is a very long lead type of project. So can you give us an update on just how that conversation started and how the relationship has progressed?
Sure. So I'm pretty sure that they found me either on Instagram or on Etsy. I never asked them. I should have asked them because it's something that I want to know. But I think they found me there. And then they actually reached out to me at the end of November of 2020. And they sent me an email with a subject line that said, American Greetings would love, in all caps, to work with you. When I saw this, I was like, okay, spam email, whatever. But I opened it and it was actually from American Greetings. So it was amazing. So they addressed the email to me and Lewis, which I thought was awesome because we're very much a team. A lot of the times, you know, people are just writing to me, but I love that they included him in that.
Well, it showed that they did their homework too.
Yeah, it showed that they were very interested in our company, which was awesome. So they said that they love many of the designs from our website and that they were interested in licensing some of them for a special program at Target for Hispanic Heritage Month. So right off the bat, American Greetings, Target, Hispanic Heritage Month. Like they were saying all the right things.
Yeah.
Even though it was amazing, still, it took me about a week to reply because I get so anxious with emails at times, especially like really important ones. I will say that I am definitely getting better at this. I feel like I've gained much more confidence as a business owner. And now I try to reply within 24 hours and all of that. But anyways, I replied saying that I would be thrilled and honored to work with them. And we set up a call to discuss the opportunity. So the call was set up for January. And I met with 3 people from American Greetings on a video call to discuss how licensing would work. They talked more about American Greetings and Recycled Paper Greetings, the projects that they had in mind for us. They talked about how they loved that we were a Latina-owned business and how they really wanted to start working with diverse artists and all of those things.
Saying all the right things.
Right. I was super nervous, but they're also nice and comforting. So it's one of those times where you like forget that big and important people are actually still just people. So they were comforting. They were super nice. And then during the call, I was also able to ask questions. And I don't know if I mentioned this already, but before this, I had very minimal experience with licensing. So I really had no idea what to ask or what to expect. But luckily for me, during that time, I was a part of your mastermind group and was able to get advice from you and from Cecily of the Paper Curator, who has an amazing line and also licenses her work.
Yeah, she does have a great line.
Yeah, amazing. And I know she's been doing like so many amazing licensing projects. But your advice and her advice helped me to go into the meeting prepared with a set of questions and things to look for, like timelines, number of designs they were interested in, projected volumes, payment terms, exclusivity, Target's expected retail price, whether the cards would be co-branded, and if they had any examples of collaborations they had done with brands in the past. And then after all of that, they sent me the contract to review and we started working on different projects together. The contract that I signed was a 3-year contract. So we've been working since 2021 and I've worked on about like 12 projects with them and I've provided artwork for 55 cards so far.
55. That's incredible, Betsy.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is so fun for me to hear an update because we did work together and then we both took a pause and all of that. So it's fun for me to catch up and hear the results of this. I have to say, you were in a really great position to do this work for them. And you asked fantastic questions going in to make sure that this was the right opportunity and partnership for you. But I will also add, it must have been nice for you to step into a partnership like this where they already had a framework they were using with other artists where they were clear on what their ask was of you and how the payments would be handled. And you know what I mean? Like, it's different when somebody approaches you for a partnership, but the details are blurry and you're not sure whether to say yes or no because you're kind of coming to an agreement together. Whereas something like this, it was a little more structured. And so you could more clearly say yes or no. Did you feel that as you were discussing things with them?
Yeah, absolutely. So it felt almost as if they were like pitching to me. So they pretty much, when we had that call, they had like a presentation for me. They explained to me about American Greetings. They explained projects that they thought I would be great for. And it made it very easy for me because I didn't have to figure out how to write a contract. I didn't have to figure out what was required for licensing or any of those things. They pretty much provided everything for me. And then I just had to review it, had to be comfortable with it, ask questions, and then sign the contract. And we started right away. And even after we started, how I work with them is they will present me with programs that they're working on. So if it's a program that has several artists, they might say like, oh, we think Betsy from Bloom of Studio will provide like great artwork for this. So they'll let me know like, hey, we have this opportunity. Are you interested? Here's what we're thinking. We saw these cards on your website. We really like them. And then they'll let me know if it's, let's say like a Mother's Day program or something, and they pick out cards that are not exactly Mother's Day. They'll let me know, okay, this is a birthday card, but we want you to turn it into a Mother's Day card. So it's been very easy for me because they are providing me with so much direction and they're just providing the programs and all of those things. So I get to do what I like. I get to edit the artwork, create new artwork. I do some copy for them too. So that's been a change, but it's been going well. And I get to focus on all of those things and not worry so much about like the logistical part of licensing.
Well, and again, stepping into an established system of this does make it easy for you compared to like one-off licensing projects. I'm just so excited for you. This is really fantastic. Is there anything that struck you by surprise as you were going through the process with them or things that you weren't aware of or weren't prepared for?
I think something that did surprise me was just the ease of working with them. Like I said before, they're just all really nice and it's just been fun working with them. I feel like they've just made it so easy for me, even with uploading artwork. It's software that I haven't worked with before, but they provide instruction. They do all of those things.
Does this make you want to do more licensing with other companies? Or do you find that this is one nice project that you have running alongside the wholesale side of your brand?
I would love to continue doing more licensing. Since I started working with them, I have had other opportunities and I feel like it's prepared me. Even though they've provided direction and all of those things, I feel like it has prepared me when it comes to working with other companies or stuff like that. I'm not doing too much. Like, I licensed artwork for another greeting card that was going to be sold in Home Goods, for example. And then I also licensed to Postable. So I have my designs there. And yeah, I would love to continue licensing and all those things as well. But I haven't had the time. Now that we have a full-time team member, I'm starting to find time to do all the things that I've been pushing off for so long. So hopefully this year or, you know, next year in the future sometime, it's something I can dedicate more of my time to and hopefully get more projects and clients and stuff like that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I misspoke earlier. I said wholesale licensing were two of your revenue streams. You also have your direct-to-consumer facing retail site too. You used to do a ton of markets. Are you still doing a lot of markets for retail?
We're not doing a ton. After COVID, we pretty much stopped. And then I want to say we do maybe like 3 or 4 a year now. Lewis, he was the one that pretty much wanted to move away from doing pop-ups and markets just because they're a lot of work. I don't mind them. I actually really like them. I like getting in front of our customers, hearing their feedback, getting to know other businesses, other small businesses, and just people in the community and stuff like that. So I don't mind it. I really like doing it. Once we saw that we could continue growing, even without doing markets, that's when we're like, okay, let's get our weekends back. we can spend time like with our families or doing fun things, and we don't have to work and do markets.
Yeah. Well, and that's something you've been kind of grappling with for several years. I know when we were working together, you were doing a ton, and then you scaled them back, and you've scaled them back even more, which is great. Let's talk about your moving. I know that you started in a bedroom in your house. You moved into the garage. I remember that was such a big project of making the garage air conditioned and accessible. Like, there were logistics there that you had to do to make it feasible for you to work there and also to have multiple people working there. And now you're in a warehouse space. How did you know that it was time to move into another space outside of your home?
We started running out of room in the garage, and the business was just really leaking into other parts of our house. And a big thing that is important to us is just having that work-life balance. So we didn't want the business to leak into our house. We wanted to be able to close the garage door and then leave the business there and then be at home and do our own thing there. Once that started happening, we started looking for warehouse spaces. It was difficult. It took us a while just because I guess there was a lot of competition. There was a lot of other businesses looking for warehouse space, I guess. So it did take us a little while, but we also at the time were thinking about actually moving our home as well. So we were thinking about purchasing a new home. And Lewis said, if we ever want to move and purchase a new home, it's going to be difficult if we're also moving our business at the same time. So that's one of the things that he really used to push towards us getting a warehouse space. So pretty much those two things. Oh, and then also my sister was leaving us, and then we did want to hire another employee. And we just wanted a space that was a workspace that we could have team members come to that wasn't our home.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So pretty much those were the three things that drove us to really spend the time looking for the warehouse space. We worked with a commercial retailer. He was a lot of help. And then we found this space, and we actually also had to add AC to this warehouse space. It was completely empty. We added our shelving. We did all of those things. And now I'm working out of here. We have our full-time team member working out of here. And then Lewis, he's remote with his job, but he has a desk set up and he's working from here too.
Awesome. I'm sure too, having the separation between home and work has also provided a lot of benefits in your personal life. Do you want to speak to that too?
Sure. So actually right now we're a little bit still in like a transition phase because we did purchase a new home. Our previous home, we actually are renting it. So that became, you know, another source of income for us. And then the home that we purchased, we're actually remodeling.
Oh, wow.
So we're not living in it right now. We're living with Lewis's parents. So we're living with his parents. So our warehouse, and we have a little office space here. We have a couch, we have a fridge, microwave. This has kind of become like our home at the moment. I mean, we're living with his parents, but you know, when we're at the warehouse, we have a private space for us. But being able to like leave here and then forget about work completely has been amazing. We get to go home, watch movies, or do things that we really didn't get to do when I was working all the time and the business was in our home.
Yeah, it's hard to separate the two when everything is in one. I work at home too. I do have an office too, but I do majority of my work here at home. And I agree, it's hard to turn it off. So talk to me about your full-time employee that you hired. Did they basically replace what your sister was doing in terms of fulfillment and shipping and things like that? Or are they doing other things for the business?
So my sister left in October of last year. And even before she left, I knew that we were going to have to hire an employee. I put it off for as long as I possibly could, just because I just have so much anxiety and I get scared sometimes with big changes. And hiring somebody that you don't know, somebody that's not family. Like, I mean, I've hired before. We've had other part-time employees and stuff like that. But again, I had the same issues going into it. So I was just scared. I wasn't sure who was going to be coming into our business, or were they going to be all of the things that I was looking for, like motivated, show initiative, have super attention to detail, all of these things. So I pushed it off for as long as I could. But then it got to the point where I was spending the whole entire day packaging and doing fulfillment. And Lewis was spending a lot of his day packaging cards and other products. So he's like, all right, that's it. Like,
we got to do something.
He's like, write up a job description. I'm posting something on Indeed and we're going to hire somebody. And I was opposed to Indeed. I wanted to do something more organic. So I posted it on Instagram. But he's very much, he just likes to get things done. So he posted it on Indeed anyways. And then on Indeed, you can promote a job. So he wasn't just going to post on Indeed. He was going to promote the job as well. So he promoted the job. We got like 130 people that applied.
Oh my gosh.
So then I told him, I was like, okay, that's it. Turn this thing off. I cannot go through any more applications. We have to go through the ones that we already have. And initially what my plan was to hire somebody that was going to be part-time and that was going to be doing pretty much the same thing that my sister was doing for us. So I told him, I was like, we can hire a part-time employee, or if we find two people that are really good, we can hire two part-time employees. So I had to sort through all of those applications and I had to be very, very strict. So I had initial questions set up on Indeed for people to answer. And then I had the job description. In there, I said, upload a cover letter, and the cover letter put like happy mail in the first paragraph or something like that. So I had to narrow it down to people that actually did everything that I asked for. And I think out of the 100 plus people that we had apply, I think only two people did absolutely everything that I asked for. And then there was maybe about 10 other ones that maybe missed like one thing here and there, but I thought were good candidates as well.
Betsy, that is such a small percent of the overall applicants.
Yeah. And so from those, I invited four people to interview. And the one person that I loved and I thought was great for the job, I emailed her and she, because I wanted to email everybody once I had it narrowed down. So it took me a couple of days. But I sent her an email and I said, I'd love to invite you for an interview, all of those things. And she replied and she actually said, oh, thanks so much. I actually accepted another position.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But thank you for your consideration or something like that. And then I was just like, oh, my God, she's perfect. Like, I cannot lose her. So I just like shot my shot and I sent her an email and I was like, sure. Thank you. But if the other job doesn't work out, let me know, because I'm sure that we can find a position for you here in our warehouse space or whatever. So she replied and she said, actually, your job was the one that interested me the most. So would it be okay for us to meet and talk more about it and all that stuff? So she came in for an interview and she was awesome. She's actually our full-time team member now.
Oh, I love this story. This is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. So when she was here, like I went through the interview and I was asking her questions. And for everybody that I interviewed, I just wanted to make sure that we were also a good fit for them. So I was just asking her, what are your expectations for hours? Are you okay with working part time? And she told me, she said, oh, I would love if it could be a full time thing. So I spoke with Lewis and I was like, I think she's perfect. We said we could hire two part-time employees. Let's just hire one full-time employee that I think is going to be great for the job. So that's what we ended up doing. And she's been working with us for like 2 months now. And my goal with hiring an employee was really to step away from packaging and fulfillment completely and then start focusing on all of the other things. So I think at 1 month, I was pretty much there. Like, I don't have to tell her anything. She has everything down. She like makes lots of notes. Yeah, she's just been awesome.
Have you had her doing the SOPs and like building out the systems for you?
I did a manual type thing, a handbook, but she has taken awesome notes. And I told her, I was like, if you ever want to contribute anything to this, I'm sharing this doc with you. You can go ahead and add whatever you want.
Awesome.
So she's doing that for me. And lately, I've also been having her do other tasks as well. So like finding emails for some of our accounts, and she's been doing different things, adding SKUs to our cards, all of those things. So she, I mean, I'm hoping, I'm crossing my fingers that she stays with us for a long time, because I can see her growing with us, maybe in another position in the future.
Yeah, she sounds great. She sounds like she's taken a lot of initiative too, to drop into other aspects of the business, which frankly, when you have a small team like yours, it's just the three of you, there will be tons of opportunity for growth for her if she wants it and takes the initiative for it.
For sure.
Well, that's incredible. I think I've shared these two resources with you before, but I'm going to go ahead and share them again. There's a Chrome extension called Tango that helps you with SOPs and things. So if she's doing computer work, like loading product onto your website or anything like that, you can click on the Chrome extension and it will record the actions that you're taking as you're, let's say, loading that product onto your website. And then it will spit out at the end when you click end, it'll spit out instructions with even screenshots and stuff that you can then use and put into your employee manual. So any computer type work she's doing, have her use Tango or even a Loom video and drop that in, because the more you can have her helping to create those systems, the easier your life is going to be too. So that's really cool.
For sure.
Oh, I'm excited for you. I know it was probably a real big shift to have your sister leave, and I know how much you relied on her, but it's such a like Cinderella story with this lady, and I'm so happy it worked out. So
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I feel like she's a lot like me. So Lewis is always saying, he's like, I don't know how you did it. Like, I don't know how you found her. And I was like, yeah, I don't know how she found her job listing. You know, I guess it's because you promoted it or whatever.
Thank you, Lewis, for promoting it. That's funny. I know a lot of the times, myself included, I feel like we go to our own audiences on Instagram or our email lists to promote these types of roles or any, you know, any position that we're trying to fill. And I think it's great to utilize all these other job sources too. It's okay to find people from outside the industry to come and support us too. In some ways, they provide different perspectives that will help us along the way.
Yeah. When we started getting into Indeed, I was like, no, whoever is going to apply on here, they're not going to have any idea about greeting cards or Bloom of Studio or like anything, but it worked out.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Switching gears a bit here. You've been an entrepreneur for a long time. You've had ups and downs, personal and business ups and downs. If you could look back and give yourself a piece of advice, pretend you were starting over today and you've amassed all this knowledge, what would you want to tell yourself, your past self or your future self, if they were starting something over again?
If I was starting over again, I mean, I think the first thing that I would say would be to like find a community, find other like-minded people, find people that will be there when you need them to support you, you know, whether it be in business or in your personal life. When I started, I was very much focused on just doing things myself. And like, yeah, that was fine for a while, but I don't think I would be where I am right now if it wasn't for the community that I eventually found through Proof to Product. And I think it's really important. Another thing that I would tell myself would be to don't be afraid to take chances. Don't be afraid to take risks. It's still something that I work on, but I think it's been helpful having a partner like Lewis that's not afraid to take risks. And maybe even seeing like other people that are doing things and making moves and changing in their business and all of those things. Like, it's okay to take a chance on something. Really, what's the worst that can happen? That's just what I tell myself even now, like all the time. I'm just like, I'm going to do this. And like, what's the worst thing that can happen? And I think about it and I'm like, that's not that bad. Like, let me just do it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I love hearing you say that because you're right. What's the worst that can happen? You know, we might fall down. Something might feel hard for a little while, but at the same time, I'm going to survive this. I'm going to get through this. I've been through harder days too. So thank you for sharing that. That's amazing. And also our community has been stronger because of your contributions. So thank you for all you've done to contribute there. Well, let's tell everyone where they can find you online. I know you're not active on social right now, but at least let's tell them your website and where they can follow along when you do pop back on to social.
Sure. So our website is bloomwolfstudio.com. And then our Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff is at Bloomwolf Studio. I do post like the occasional story on Instagram. So I show my face like here and there just so people don't forget about us. And then if you're a wholesale customer, you can find us on Fair. We're there, Bloomwolf Studio. You can search us and find us there.
Awesome. Betsy, thank you so much for your time today. I just really appreciate you.
Thank you, Katie. I appreciate you.
A big thanks to Betsy for coming on the show again today to share her experiences with licensing her art, moving her studio, and growing her team. It was really fun to catch up and get an update from her. If you have not yet caught Betsy's previous episode, go look for episode 173 of Proof to Product. Betsy talks about her startup story, and we talk about creating social change through her product line and just very intentional business practices as well. If you found today's episode helpful, please share it with a friend that would benefit and leave us a 5-star rating or write a review. Your reviews tell the podcast feeds that our show is worth promoting to new listeners. Plus, it makes us feel good to know that this labor of love is making such a positive impact in your life and your business. So you can head to ratethispodcast.com/PTP for Proof to Product, and you can leave that 5-star rating and write a review. Again, that's ratethispodcast.com/PTP for Proof to Product. You'll be able to select your favorite podcast player and leave your review there. Thank you so much for listening to the end. I'll be back next week with a new episode. Have a great week.